No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides what horrible fate awaits you this week in the Dark Archive. I am Dylan.
I am Molly, and I have Mexican food instead of anything prepared.
I have Cheez-Its.
Wow.
So, truly, I'm the gourmand here.
I do like Cheez-Its, but, like, I have beef birria in queso right now, so...
But these are sharp white cheddar Cheez-Its, Molly, so maybe get on my level.
Why'd you say cheddar with an S?
I don't.
You said it like that, though.
I did not.
Yeah, huh.
What kind of crack are you on?
I'm not on crack. I'm on edibles. Thank
what
you.
Kind of cracker are you on?
Cracker?
Because unless it's a sharp white cheddar Cheez-It, it's an inferior cracker to mine.
I do have terrible crackers, actually. To me. Like, I really hate them, but I keep eating them because I paid for them.
I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. You're like, money went into this, so this has to go into me.
They're like not like terrible for me, and they're edible, but I hate them. So, you know, I gotta eat them.
Probably better than them vegan cookies that Pokimane or whoever the fuck is trying to sell for like $27 a bag or whatever the fuck.
Like, maybe if it was from, like, a really fancy bakery in New York, because it's super expensive there, right? And, like, if they're super popular, then their prices are gigantic.
Well, like, what she did was apparently just rip off the recipe from somebody else who makes vegan cookies.
Wow.
And then repackaged them and sold them for, like, 3 times the price.
That's gross.
Yeah, everyone's, like, real mad about it. Because she didn't get many sales, and then, like, started shitting on people for not buying her cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Twitch streamers, man, they're a different breed.
I don't understand influencers, to be honest.
I don't
either. Very complicated.
It's like, get a real job.
Like, I realize we're sounding incredibly hypocritical, because this is a podcast.
I don't do this for money. I work 40 hours a week and do this for fun.
Who says all influencers started doing what they were doing for money? They were just doing it. Then they got popular.
Some of these people...
I mean, some of them start out just do the money. I mean, let's be real.
You make content to sell products. I make content because I'm autistic. We are not the same.
Well, you can be both.
Anyways,
autistic people can also commit crimes.
The deviant abilities from the Dark Archive. These are like probably...
Autistic?
They're a
autistic
kinda?
Deviant.
They're
just like
so. These are actually probably
sell products for money online.
These are my favorite part of the book because they're literally just like your excuse to play X-Men in Pathfinder.
Mm.
They're just like they're special feats. They kind of take the place of an archetype and a background in that like a specific event happened, usually like a trauma. But not necessarily a trauma that kind of awakened this weird supernatural ability inside of you. They're not necessarily magic, although they can have magical effects, but they're fucking bonkers. Like you can have like, you can like shoot laser beams from your eyes. You can scream and cause thunderstorms. You can eat the energy of spells that are thrown at you. You can shoot fire from your feet to leap great distances. You can have bone spikes grow from your body, and then you can shoot those bone spikes at people. You get high-speed regeneration. You can stomp the ground and make earthquakes. You can do all kinds of crazy shit with the deviant abilities because they're there specifically to make you able to do crazy fucking X-Man shit.
Sounds complicated. Well, cool.
They're not really. It's like literally just like, here's a feat, and take this feat with this background, and now you can shoot lasers out of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the stat block for that. And there are advancement feats for them too. So this is how they kind of take the place of archetypes in a way, and that like you take this feat and it advances your deviant ability to like do more damage or have an extra effect, be able to change the damage types, like just it does all kinds of cool stuff, and you can take this multiple times to improve your deviant ability further and further, making it stronger and stronger. So if it's something that you want to keep around and have an it be like a useful ability to you, you can continually advance it so that it scales upward with you as you get stronger. They also have quirks. So these can be things that are mildly inconvenient, like, oh man, all the color drained out of my skin and I look weird for a few days, to I shot lasers out of my eyes and now I'm blind for the next 3 days.
Ouch.
And then there are backlash effects, where if you use these abilities too much, they start having detrimental effects on your body, because, you know, stomping the ground to make earthquakes, really not great for the shins.
Yeah, probably not. Or the knees.
Or the knees. So, like, using them repeatedly in rapid succession is a way you could get a lot of damage out of them, but there is the potential, depending on certain rolls you make, that it is going to come back to bite you in the ass, and then you won't be able to use them for a bit. It may take some damage. There are, like, even permanent injuries that can come with using these abilities too much.
Mm. I like balanced superpowers. They sound cool.
And then there's deviant spells, which is even better, because you're like, I'm just going to use magic that comes from fuck off in the middle of space,
mm-hmm,
and do magic that doesn't abide by the rules of other magic. This shit's fucking bonkers. You can breathe moths out of your fucking face, and then they will go and eat somebody, and then you heal because the moths that came out of your face ate someone. That's a spell.
That's a spell?
That's not a spell.
That's not an ability where you just have
moths. That's a spell that a spellcaster can learn.
What?
That's a thing.
Gross. I don't like that. Can you tell them to stop, please?
I like it a lot because it's gross and I'm a fucking freak. If you pick up the Dark Archive for any reason, like if it just has to be one thing, let it be the deviant abilities and spells, because they are where things get really, really bonkers in terms of like what you can do with your character in the world. Now, the next bit is my second favorite bit.
Mm-hmm.
I use this one a lot in my games. It's the reflections. So in the world of Pathfinder, there are these cursed mirrors or like alchemical reflections, these body double clones. There's like an evil mirror world. And inside this world, if you look into one of these mirrors, there's an evil reflection of yourself. And if you get too close to that mirror, it can like yank you into it, and then it'll come out in the world and steal your place. Or sometimes if you just look into it for too long, the reflection will come out, and maybe you get away, but that reflection's still out in the world. It's got rules for like cloning, or like maybe somebody like got some of your DNA and like made another you alchemically, or like somebody's like a body double, like you were meant to be the body double for a king, so if there was an assassination attempt, you would die instead of the king. There's rules for having these people now who are a reflection of a certain individual in one way or another. Some of them are kind of neutral and can have their own sets of stats and abilities. Some of them are literally clones or reflections of a particular person, and they will have the stats and abilities of the person that was cloned. I actually used this for Eteowyn, where we were playing in a game where Eteowyn was kind of like experimenting with this Dark Mirror world, and Richard, of course, like, he's cool with me playing this character, but we need an excuse for him to not be the level 20 arch fuck wizard that he actually is. So we just like, oh, it's a dark reflection of Eteowyn. He got yanked out of the mirror. Eteowyn thought he was kind of lame, was like, fuck off, nerd, kicked him off a cliff, but he happened to survive. And that was the character I was playing, who did not realize he wasn't the real Eteowyn.
Ooh. If you were an evil person and looked in the mirror, would your reflection be more evil or good?
More evil. The reflections that come out of that mirror are ubiquitously evil.
What's the bottom line? How evil like do you underscore? Have to be? Like, what do you think a double Hitler would be?
Stalin?
Maybe.
I kind of hit you with that one, didn't I?
A little bit. There's a number of, like, I just lost the word. There's a number of rulers, there's a specific word I'm missing, that are all
dictators.
Kind of, dictator, that's the word. I was like, I heard traitor, and I was like, that's not it. Weird. There's so many. Oh my god. What's happening in China? Oh, or in the Gaza Strip. Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of bad stuff shaken down over there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Molly.
Mm.
Do you know why third world countries bury their foreskins?
Why did they do that?
It's how they grow their dictators.
Is that a variety that they've made in Ireland?
The Irish dictator famine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why all their potatoes were.
So the cool thing here is there's the like there's
ones. Never mind.
There's like backgrounds for being an alchemical clone of some sort. In which case you may have no memory. You think you're somebody else, but don't know what's going on. There's a background for being a reflection where you have some of the memories of the person you're a reflection of. You know who they are and you know what they're about, but you are, again, ubiquitously evil and you're going around just trying to stir up shit. And then there's one for like being a body double where you've had surgery and stuff to look like somebody else, but for whatever reason you were disowned from that position.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them kind of comes with this whole like, people think you're that person and there's consequences to that kind of theme to them, which I think is really fun. I kind of played up in this game where I played as Reflective Ateo, and we didn't get too much into it, but there was consequences in that, like, he being this reflection of Ateo with no memory didn't think that he was a big deal in this world. He's like, I'm going to start going and spreading chaos and doing the thing I do, only to find out that the real Ateo was there already causing shit.
Yeah.
And so people were recognizing him and like putting out hits and shit on him.
Inconvenient.
Inconvenient indeed.
Mm-hmm.
That game was so much fun. It was like a full evil game, and I remember we like baptized a whole city in acid. It was pretty crazy.
Jesus.
I killed a man because he wouldn't give me medical treatment. I still didn't get the medical treatment.
Yeah, it kind of backfired this on that.
This is a great segue into the next section, which is cults.
Oh, I wonder how.
So, these are like, so we talked about the secret societies in the previous episode, where they're kind of like this thing in the background where there's like this mystery, this intrigue to them, where like you can find out they're there and they're doing stuff. They have their own agendas and you can kind of ingratiate yourselves to them to learn a bit more about them to, or maybe try and stop them if they're doing something bad that you don't like, or like get certain services from them if they have political sway in an area. The cults can kind of, they do a lot of that stuff, but they're arguably a more dangerous thing because they have these crazy religious beliefs, usually dedicated to an evil or dark god and the summoning thereof. Most of them want to try and destroy the world or summon some kind of creature that would then by proxy destroy the world. The cult of Yog-Sothoth is one of these cults. It mentions it. They want to get the attention of Yog-Sothoth and bring him to Galarian. And listen, if an entity that exists in all times and all spaces congruently suddenly shows up and is an infinite Cosmere of maddening knowledge that exists in both past, present, and future, and anyone who looks at him has their mind shattered into a million fragments and scattered to the winds, that's probably going to break the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably like first on the docket. On the opposite end of that spectrum is the Silent Sect of the Black Butterfly, which is a cult of assassins dedicated to finding the cults of the old gods and the outer gods like Yog-Sothoth and completely eradicating them. Thinking like, listen, those guys are fucked up. We're going to hunt them down and kill them. And they have kind of this dual life they live where like they will don the garb of their cult and the whole time they're not allowed to speak. They will never utter a word because they are a member of this cult. But in their everyday lives, when they're not wearing the robes of their office, they can talk freely. So the people who find out about them find out about this vow of silence they've taken and that they never speak. And it kind of throws them off the trail because in their day-to-day lives, they talk freely.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be looking for the people who never talk and they won't find them.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Yeah. I was wondering, so like, what does society consider them? Do they consider them as a cult? Like, who is on like Law's side and who is not on Law's side, because you made it sound like the other cults are very much like murder.
Well, they're all very murdery.
Mm-hmm.
And like they would still come into like public attention too, because like say the silent sect of the Black Butterfly shows up in a place,
mm-hmm.
and then three people turn up dead.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows why. Now you've got this triple homicide that's being investigated. You find out about the secret sect of the Black, or the silent sect of the Black Butterfly, and you're kind of chasing them down, and you never understand that the reason those three people murdered is because they were trying to summon fucking Yogg-Sothoth. So it really kind of goes in different directions. These cults, they exist for different reasons, and kind of the way they interact and the way that the players can interact with that, it creates like a lot of potential for fuckery.
I see.
As we say in the business.
Hmm.
And that's not even to say that's the all there's the cult of the Devourer. Did you know that in the core of Galarian, in the center of the fucking planet, Ravagug the Devourer has been caged by all of the other gods, and if he ever gets out, he is going to literally eat all of reality in order to make everything cease to exist?
Heavy.
And there's some people who want that to happen.
I mean, when I have a migraine, sometimes.
I'm having a shitty day. Summon Ravagug.
I'm like, I just want reality to stop.
My girlfriend dumped me. Summon Ravagug.
That would be pretty funny.
Fuck him. That would be like the best big bad. Like, he literally summons a world-eating god because his girlfriend broke up with him, and he's just being angsty.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Can you imagine a teen god doing that?
Teen like god 13? Sounds like a weird, like, that sounds like something you'd watch, like, on Kids WB or something.
No. I'm thinking more like, Tutankhamun.
Yeah, definitely Kids WB.
Not as, like, a hero, man. Like a tragic bystander.
That describes my whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So coming from cults, we have the Living Vessel dedication, which I have made a section for this specifically because of how cool I think it is. One of my players is actually using this. As the Living Vessel dedication, you are possessed by some sort of entity. It could be like something connected to one of the outer gods. It could be an abyssal entity. It could be from one of the nine hells. You are just possessed by something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like specific to your character. There's not like specific types for this. It's whatever makes sense for your character is how this archetype goes. But it has varied effects based on the kind of entity you share your body with. Mm-hmm. Like you can use the corrupting influence of the abyss. You can create illusions if you're sharing your body with a fae. Or, like, if you're sharing your body with an aberration of some type, your body will, like, twist and warp, and you have, like, weird eyes and tentacles in weird places.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's very heavily dependent on what kind of entity you are bonded to, mm-hmm. and what their powers are to determine what your powers will be as a result of this. You can also use your connection to that entity to draw power from them to heal your wounds,
mm-hmm.
but as you do this, the entity will try and use that influence to take control of your body.
Hmm.
It's like the more you draw power on it, the more control it will then be able to take over you until it's actually possible for the entity to fully control you for a period of time. Or like at this point, your PC is now under the GM's control and they're doing stuff because this demon or whatever the fuck has completely gotten control of you for this moment.
Hmm.
And the fun, like the most fun part of that specifically, I believe, is there is actually just kind of this passive feature where if you're ever reduced to 0 hit points, the entity then immediately takes over your body. Mm-hmm. You heal back up to a certain degree and the entity is like doing shit while you're knocked out. And this can be anything from, oh, well, now I'm in control and I'm going to cause chaos, to, oh, shit, we're about to die. I need to get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
One of my players is actually like an anime, using this.
Actually.
It is a little anime, but all of Pathfinder is a little bit anime.
Yeah, that's fair. You right.
I right. And one of my players is actually using this. It came about because I made a cryptid that was an investigation for the group wherein they found there's this crow named Lamplighter, and the crow was actually like a fused spirit thing where there was this guy who got thrown in prison for committing a crime. He died in jail, and his pet crow, you know how crows are like psychopomps in a lot of religions? So he kind of like took the soul, but the crow couldn't escape and also died there. So there's kind of like this hybrid intelligent entity of like the fused soul of this man and this crow that is now out for vengeance that they defeated. But one of our players, who was playing Poppet, the helpful Poppet, who was just this delightful little girl who wants everyone to be happy and have good times, like actually went and like performed a nice funeral and like did all these things to try and actually put his spirit to rest and like do all these nice things for this person who was like terrorizing the city for the longest time. So as a result, kind of the crow spirit bonded to her a little bit. And she was like, all right, you know what? This is a great time to take the living vessel dedication. I am now bonded to this crow, and that's the entity that shares my body. Hmm. And it was really cool.
Yeah.
She grew little crow wings.
Aww.
It was a lot of fun. I like when people can take these, like, I had no idea she was going to do this. I just kind of like had this idea for like a cryptid hunt, for them to like investigate and then hunt down and like try and like help people. And I like whenever my players can take these cool ideas and like wrap them into this shit. Kind of like, this is the prime example, I think, of like, the world is not the Game Master's world. It's everyone's world, and everyone's writing the story. Mm. And it's a prime example of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But yeah, so that pretty much covers it for this week. We've finished out the Dark Archive. There's some occult spells, like for occult things. But like they're very varied. They're doing things like creating rituals to like summon particular entities, and that would require going over the ritual rules, which aren't specific to this book. So we're kind of going to leave that for another day. But we'll revisit this whenever we do go over how rituals work. But this book is like full of mystery and full of intrigue, and like it's a lot of like cool things that aren't like out and out combat stuff, which is what a lot of Pathfinder ends up being most of the time, is mm-hmm. just who's going to get the biggest punches to punch the biggest. And this is a book that very much goes away from that, which I very much appreciate. And even then, like the horror flavor, I love horror, but the horror flavor in this book is entirely optional. You don't even have to use that stuff. You can go full X-Men.
Sounds like fun. Sounds complicated, but cute.
Some of it's complicated, but it's really not too bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of these sections are all like broken down into their own thing, and they're explained very concisely. So, you know, I've gone over this in very broad strokes, of course, because we're time limited for what we're doing here. But they're all explained very well in the text itself. If this stuff sounds interesting to you, definitely go pick up the Dark Archive. It's such a fun book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got any final thoughts? Felons?
Not really.
Not really.
But I do really like this queso that I've been eating, which you'll probably hear.
All right. Pretty good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. It's delicious.
If you want to find us on Facebook, that was facebook.com/d20dudes. You want to find us on the Twitter? It's twitter.com/d20dudes or at d20dudes on Twitter. If you would like to join the Discord, come hang out with us and make fun of us. Link to that is down in the description. And if you would like to support the podcast, patreon.com/d20dudes, just $3 a month gets you a shout out in every episode, like we are doing for friend here Molly, friend Jenny, friend Word, friend Zam, and friend Ken Thomas. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for your support.
It's my first name. My first name is friend.
Friend Aaron. It is me, friend Aaron. Howard Hughes shutting down. Rebooting.
Exactly.
So we'll go ahead and roll that d20, and we will see what next week's episode is going to be about.
You can just call me F. Molly.
I have rolled 12, which is a fucking thing we already covered, and I need to remove from this list and roll again. My B. Rolling again, I got a 6. Okay, so this is the setting for Scum and Villainy, which is a system I covered a little bit back in the day. This is one of those systems that is the Forged in the Dark Core system, which is what Blades in the Dark ended up growing into. Scum and Villainy is the very Star Wars, very space-flavored one, but it's got some very interesting kind of ideas for its own setting about how, like, magic does or does not work in this setting, and like ancient civilizations with advanced technology and all that cool stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. So thank you everyone for listening. We'll catch you then. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.